Welcome to the weekly podcast from City Light Church in Lethbridge. For more teaching or to find out more about life at CLC, please visit our website at citylightchurch.ca.
I remember as a child being called of God, 2 or 3 years old, so just so you know who I am, I'm going to get real brief because I've only got 30 minutes. Maybe I was 5 or 6. But I wasn't raised in a Christian home. Now, we're Catholic, and I'm not saying Catholics aren't Christian. I just, our home was not. My dad's Jewish, my mom's Catholic, so they kind of left the God thing alone. But we knew that there was a God, and that's as far as our faith went. We believed there was a God, and we weren't here by accident. But at about 6 or 7 years old, I was in a Catholic school, and we were starting to read these little story Bibles, and God started calling my... He just started talking to me all the time. I mean, I was not a weird little kid. I was a regular little kid, didn't know anything. But I don't remember a day that I did not pray every night. And I was not raised in a Christian home, and that was not going on in our home. God was always in my face. Now, there was a season when I was a teenager where I ran away from God. But other than that, I prayed every day. But that wasn't what was really important. It's when I made Jesus Lord of my life. A televangelist got me to the sinner's prayer when I was about 7th grade. When I was about 24, 25, another televangelist, just hung over, partying, turning on the TV on a Sunday morning, don't know why I was up, and this televangelist comes on and starts talking, and I got hooked again. God just pulled me back. And he taught me what it means to make Jesus Lord of my life. And we're going to be dealing with that today because we are talking about going deeper in faith. And I'm not talking about the kind of faith that gets a person saved, although that is the most important. You want to be in heaven. But I'm talking about going a little deeper than that, pressing in to where Jesus said, you ask anything in my name believing, you can have it. All things are possible to him who believes. Now that is not the same as saying a sinner's prayer and being saved. That is the most significant and important prayer you'll ever pray. But there's more available to us than that. So I want to start, I got to say something funny because I don't want everybody, I don't want to lose everybody right off the beginning. So I always like to start with a joke. So before we get into the word real heavy, we'll get a little chuckle. And if you don't laugh, then that's okay. It's just I'm not a comedian, but I won't be offended. But I know Pastor Doug says it could be a tough crowd. No, he didn't. He didn't really say that. He did not really say that. I shouldn't lie. I'm up here preaching. That's not true. Okay, so there's this Baptist minister. I say Baptist because I don't want you to put a face to this story because it's just the story. But there's this Baptist minister, and he's newer in the church, been their pastor for a couple of months, and he's just finished preaching, and he's on his way out the church. He wants to get to the back after his sermon so he can shake hands with everybody as they're leaving. So he does, and he shakes hands with a few adults, and then he sees this one young fella coming up. And he knows that's Jonathan. He's the head deacon's son. And he recognized him, about 9 years old. And as he goes to shake Jonathan's hand, he feels something in his hand. So he pulls back, and little Jonathan slid up a $20 bill. I said, Jonathan, what's this for? He said, I just want to help, Pastor. I heard my dad talking to my mom, said, you're the poorest pastor we've ever had. So hopefully no one's handing me $20 bills at the end of service. But anyway, faith is an interesting topic because it's not just, I've heard people describe it as a tool we can use, but I really believe it's much more than that. I believe it's a part of who we are. And a lot of times you'll hear things about faith that when you really look deep in the Word, you may have heard them preached over and over and over, but when you look for yourself at what Jesus is saying, it doesn't quite line up. So we're going to learn some things straight from the mouth of Jesus. One thing I don't ever want to do, man, this is big, isn't it? I am here, it's just not just talking head. One thing I don't want to do is try to teach you what I think. I want to take in context exactly what Jesus was saying, what his disciples were saying, what the Bible records, and help us to grab hold of it. He was very controversial, and a lot of the church people didn't like what he said. And some of the things he did were for our benefit, but we miss it because we don't take the time to see, really, why did he do this? What was he doing? So let's get into it. It's not just a belief system. It's not just a spiritual force, but it is those things. Faith is the very stuff life is made of. You know, and you sung it today. We will not be shaken. We trust in our God. No matter what life brings our way, sometimes we get this misunderstanding that God has sent some bad stuff towards us. We'll talk about that in just a moment. Some say they have no faith, and you've met people like this, and they don't believe in God. Well, they have faith. They just simply believe that we're here by chance or by accident. Their faith is just in a natural existence. It takes more faith to believe that all of this came from some explosion that came from nothing. I just don't understand how you can say, even if God did create that way and recorded it the way he did, it still took a God. Nothing does not create something. I don't care how many zeros and billions you add to it, nothing does not create something. And you can blow up Marshall Auto Records from here to eternity and you will not get a brand new Lincoln Continental. It doesn't matter how many zeros and how many billions of times you do it. And you know, but that's our education system and we gotta pray for them. But some people absolutely believe that. Their natural thinking limits their life. Jesus has offered us more. And the church needs to know how much more he's really offered us. Do we need faith? Well, let's see. Slide 2. Do we need faith? Hebrews 11:6. One of the few verses I will read to you because there's so much in here I want to get through real quick. But I'm going to go to Hebrews. And I can find it. I know my way around. Pages do stick together. But I'm no rookie. I actually put the page numbers in my notes. Hey, just a tip for you guys that only preached a couple times. It just makes things a little easier. But pages still do stick together. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Talking about God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. All of us here would believe that. But look, it doesn't end there. And that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So is faith important? Will you tell me how you're going to please God without it when it says it's impossible to? Faith is important. That's why we need to talk about it. And we need a better understanding of the faith Jesus preached, more so than what we've had many men preach to us for many, many years. And not that there's some truth in almost every church you can go to. You'll see the root of where their beliefs came from, but then they get this man-made stuff added to it. What we want to do is to stick with what Jesus said as close as we can. So if I say something weird, don't toss it out, but don't believe it right away. Check it out. Go home and check it out for yourself. They do record these. You can get the CDs, and they're on the website a few days later. I don't know if it's even the same day, Monday. So you can hear this again, take some notes, and check it out for yourself, because faith, we need it. Obviously, we need it. Now, before I go any further, I want to say there's a prerequisite. We got to understand something before we can go really deep in faith. God is never the author of our problem. Now, we've had a lot of teaching that says it's so. But let me explain in a nutshell, because I could spend a week on this one subject, and we're not even talking about this, but you kind of need to have a grasp. Now, in the beginning, the Garden of Eden, we see God's perfect will before sin. That's his will for man. Then we see man, who has dominion over the earth, usurped by Satan. He's beguiled and fallen away. And do I need this anymore? Or am I done that page? I'm just about. I'm not asking you to turn off the air conditioning. It feels good. So man gave up that dominion to Satan. Not intentionally, but nonetheless it happened. And the Bible records very plainly for us that Satan is the god of this world. We live in a fallen world. God does not have to bring problems to you. It says he works all things together for good. So when you're in trouble and you're in some disgusting mess or some awful sickness, it's not from God, and it's not that he allowed it, although he did allow us to have a free will. He allowed Adam to allow sin to enter in because he gave man a free will. So in a way, I guess he allowed, but he's not allowing that individual circumstance into your life to help you. He will use it to help you. But he did not bring your sickness, your problem. Jesus made it very clear. Satan comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that you can have life and have it more abundantly. And if you really want to know the will of God, it says Jesus went about doing the will of God and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Doing good, healing all. And the will of God is the Garden of Eden. Now that's how he wants men treated, the same way you want your children treated. You don't put their hand on a hot stove to teach them that it's hot not to touch it. And God's not that kind of child abuser either. He doesn't put cancer on you. He doesn't put disease on you. He doesn't put poverty on you. He's come to set us free. And we're talking about going deeper in faith. Well, there is a way of escape. Now, when we miss it, this is the big problem where the religious ideas come in. When we miss it, right away we think, well, it didn't work for me. Maybe it doesn't really mean this. And you look for excuses. It doesn't matter if you don't, it matters in your instance, but I'm saying regardless, it does not change the fact the word is true if you don't receive an answer. The problem is not with the word. The problem is not with what Jesus said. The problem is with us. And we need to find where we missed it, or we're going to continue to miss it. We don't grab hold of some religious idea that, oh, it's not God's will this time. Where did Jesus ever say, no, I'm not healing you? Anybody that came to him with faith received. And some came without even asking and grabbed hold of his garment and received. We'll talk about her too. Anyway, we got to really roll. So I wanted you to get a grasp of that. Now, we could teach on that for a long time. That's a full 12-week course. But you need to understand, if you really want to go deep in faith, God will heal you. He will deliver you. He will provide for you. He's not holding back. Never holding back. It's not his intent. But boy, he's also not going to break his own word. When he gave dominion to man and man gave it away, he cannot steal it back. He's not a man that he can lie. But what he did in Jesus, and we're not under the covenant of Job or the covenant of Noah or the covenant of Abraham. We're under the covenant of Jesus and the government with which he runs things. And when we're in Christ, the authority has been brought back. Christ has the authority. Satan's still the god of this world. That's why we still live with all the sin and garbage around us, and that's why these thoughts come in our own head, and we're to take captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We don't let the devil live here, but we can't stop him from saying something. But we sure can stop him from living here. Well, we better go. We better go. So what are we on? This is what we're talking about today. 6 steps to a greater faith. Okay, feeding our faith. Let's see what we got. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now this is really interesting. Really interesting. What's that next one? We choose. Oh, I put it in red, and I can't see it as good. I should have worn my glasses, like Pastor Doug. We choose. It's closer here. I can see that one. We choose to feed on the word and grow, or grow hungry spiritually. It's up to us. Man, I'm telling you, it's not that God's mad at you and doesn't want to answer your prayer. But when you watch 4 to 6 hours of TV in the evening, but you don't have time to spend half an hour in God's word for your own benefit, not for his, for your benefit. Because we're such carnal, earthly, stuck in this. You know, the pressures that we see, all the advertising, all the promotions, all the, we got to have that, or we got to watch this, or you don't want to be out of the loop, or, oh, there's a great game on, you know. Yeah, I love watching my wife and I like movies, and I love hockey, and, you know, there's just things I really enjoy. I like going fishing, in case you didn't know. Jesus really liked fishermen, by the way. Anyway, a Christ-like nature in the inner person of the heart isn't fully developed without time and effort in prayer and in the word. You're missing out. You're really missing out. God's not mad at you, but you miss out when you don't spend the time with him you should. We need to retrain our thinking and feed our own faith with God's wisdom. And you know, the more he says, you draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. So run at him. Guess what's going to happen? He's going to run at you. I mean, I've had some incredible experiences in my life. I didn't get to know God because I spent all my time, you know, partying and drinking. I did my little share of that, and I'll share my testimony some other time. But man, when I drew near to God, I was sold out to God. And he quickly changed my life. Like, quickly. Do you know, it's so amazing to me how new believers can have such faith and see such miracles right away. And yet sometimes as we live in church year after year after year, we don't see answers to prayer like that. It's because we unlearn all the childlike faith God wanted us and poured into us and we had in the first place. So we'll talk about childlike faith in a minute. We stay in Christ through choices we make regarding our daily life, and that's not because God's a bossy God. It's because he wants the socks blessed right off you. It gives him good pleasure to give you the desires of your heart. Now, that's the God we serve. What's our problem? Why is he withholding? He's not. We're too busy watching whatever we're watching. I don't know. I look at TV now, and it's all these reality shows, and they're all garbage. I can't even watch TV anymore. And I used to really enjoy it. But we do go to movies, and we're pretty careful about what we fill our eyes and our ears with. But we're human, and we blow it too sometimes. And then we repent and say, God, I did not need to see that or hear that. But I do enjoy sports, and you'll even see that in the sermon later on. Okay, be a doer of the word. Are we there yet? Or am I skipping ahead? Christ-like nature in the inner. Okay, hang on a sec. What slide number are we on?
You're on slide number 5.
Why does this say slide 6? Where is slide? Oh, of course we are. A Christ-like nature. I already mentioned that one. Retrain your thinking and feed your own faith with God's word. These are the things we need to do. And boy, do we hear this a lot in church. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is trying to help us. But yeah, we hear this all the time. Bible study, prayer, faithful church attendance means every week, not just once in a while. But yeah, if you're out of town because you're on a two-week holiday and, you know, spending time with your family, that's good. But the other 50 weeks of the year, we should be here. And you know, anointed Bible teaching is available even when we're away and during the week. And there's midweek groups and all kinds of things. Obedience to God's instructions, and that's being a doer of the word. And we're going to talk a bit about that. So we're going to, let's motor along. Be a doer of the word is slide number 2. Now that's the second thing of our 6 things that will help us get deeper in faith. Commit to doing things God's way. Luke 6:46, Jesus asked, now this is heavy. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Or, you know, it says, or things, you know, anyway, that's the old King James. That's the way I memorized it. My age is showing, right? Be childlike in your faith. And now look, oh. You have to believe what Jesus said and act like it's true, because it is. You know, sometimes we get a little mixed up and we think it's all rules and regulations and steps and steps. No, just believe him. What he said, you take it to the bank. You can count on it. And when your mind and your emotions and your ideas try to talk you out of it, take every thought into obedience. To shut up, head. Jesus said it. I believe it. And you argue with yourself until you believe it. Because he's right and we're just humans cruising through this, and we want to spend eternity with him, but we don't need to cruise through here getting our butts kicked by the devil. No, it's supposed to be the other way around. He's under our feet. Jesus is waiting, that's what the word says, for us to make him our footstool. Now, this is where we miss it. We forget. All that authority, you don't have to muster that up in yourself. You don't have to learn that. Jesus gained that at the cross. That's what the word says. And guess what else it says? We're in him. The authority is there automatically when you're born again. He's lifted us up to sit with him in heavenly places in Christ. Satan is under your feet. When hell breaks loose in your life, remember that. It's Jesus that gained the authority, and we're in Christ. You have authority automatically. We're learning about faith. I'd love to teach on authority sometime, because that is not something you have to find. It's not something. Now, faith has been given to every man. He's dealt to each one a measure of faith. Our problem is we just sometimes don't trust. And we, like I said, we sung the song, we trust in our God. Well, we really need to. And when times are tough, or when someone you care about needs a miracle, that's when you really need to trust. So, we're on slide 6, right? Be childlike. We mustn't add man-made rules or duties to God's promises or excuses. Yeah, but this says that, but this and but that. And, you know, sometimes our butts get in the way. If your butt's so big that's blocking out your faith, your butt's too big. Don't make excuses. Trust Jesus. Because it doesn't matter what the rules and regulations say. Even when we've done something wrong, he's not interested in that. Faith will deliver you. And faith will deliver that heathen sinner that walks through the door and falls on his knees. And faith will deliver you When you miss it, when you haven't prayed enough, when you haven't done this enough, you haven't been in church enough, you haven't given enough, faith will deliver you if you'll believe. He's not holding back, and he's not got some measure or scale that, oh, they're not quite good enough to answer that prayer. No, you just need to believe him. And this is what faith is all about. Jesus said it, and he went to the cross to pay the price because he knew darn well we couldn't measure up. He knew I couldn't. Man, I've blown it so many times. If it wasn't for Jesus, I don't think I'd still be alive. I'd say ask my wife, but no, I don't want you to, because she might tell you some things you should not know. Rules are irrelevant. Yes, this is so important. They are really irrelevant where faith is concerned. And these are examples from Scripture. And I don't know that I have the time, but this is a woman that talks to Jesus, and Jesus says, hey, you're not even a Jew. I'm here for one reason, and that's to bring this message to the Jewish people. And it's not good that I should throw bread to the dogs. That's the verse, that passage that that's talking about. And this woman says to him, a Samaritan woman who isn't entitled to this message at the time of Christ. He's there to speak to the Jews, right? He's not crucified yet. People aren't being born again yet. She says to him this, and he's just like, wow. I mean, when you get Jesus to go, wow, that's pretty impressive. But she says, even the dogs eat the crumbs from the master's table. See, rules don't matter. And what happened? She got what she asked. He says, woman, your faith is awesome. Your daughter's healed. And she was healed. And now these are all examples of this. The woman with the issue of blood should not, of Jewish law, rules, church rules, regulations, fall in the Old Testament. There was no New Testament. Remember, this is how they lived. They lived by these rules to draw near to God. And there's things that said she shouldn't have been out in public. She shouldn't have been, certainly not touching a man of God, because anything she touched would be contaminated. And here she is running up and grabbing hold of the hem of Jesus' garment. Rules don't matter. Her faith made her whole. And Jesus made that clear. So quit worrying about getting everything right or behaving right or acting right. Rules don't matter. A centurion's servant is healed. Now here he is. He's not Jewish. He's a Roman. He's giving them, a hard time as far as many of the Jews are concerned. The Romans are giving them a hard time. And he says, I'm not even worthy that you would come to my house, but I have this servant that I really love, and man, I need him healed. So Jesus is just blown away. He actually said Jesus marveled at his faith. Have you ever made Jesus marvel at your faith? But this centurion did. And what happened? Well, Jesus didn't say, well, you need to be baptized and you need to go talk to the priest. And he said, well, your servant will be healed. And then this fellow went on his way, and his other servants are coming along the way when he's heading back, days, a couple days or whatever to travel. And also, is this mine? No, that's mine. That's mine. Thank you. Oh, I hate when that happens. Okay, hang on. I'll get my voice back. He inquires of the servants, when was my servant healed? And they say, what time? He says, exactly when Jesus said, go home. Your servant's healed, to that centurion. Pretty remarkable. And the other one, woman caught in the very act of adultery. We know this one. Jesus is doodling in the sand. He's so disgusted with these guys. I'll bet they drag her out there naked. Caught in the very act of adultery. And now she's not asking for a miracle here, but you know what he does? He says, your sins are forgiven. Freaks them out. They don't condemn you. I don't. No one's there to condemn you. I don't condemn you either. And then he gives her instructions to change her life. Go and sin no more. Stop doing these things that are destroying your life. Get your life together. And that's God's mercy. Now that's what we get from our Lord. Okay, next slide is... what is the next slide? Realize who you are in Christ, the righteousness of God. I talked about that, right? And now, these are all verses from the Bible, and I purposefully didn't put all of them up there so you'd do some homework. But yes, this is one of my favorites. We are heirs of God, joint heir with Jesus. Now, what does God own and what does Jesus own? What do they control and what interests do they have? It all belongs to God. So where are the limits in your life if you're a joint heir with Jesus? You see, that's one thing that I often tell people is that when you pray to God, he sees no difference between you and Christ. If he'll answer Jesus' prayer, he'll answer your prayer just as quickly. We're in Christ. He doesn't look at you through your failures, your shortcomings, your mistakes, your lack of experience, your bad attitude, or how harsh you talk to your spouse or your kid. He looks at you through a veil of Jesus' blood and sees this perfect, sinless, spotless child of his, and he loves you enough to die for you. Every time you pray, realize that. When you struggle with something, realize that. He is there for you, never against you. That's the God we serve. Now, I was on 4, right? Page 4. Okay, good. I do mark my pages so that I can kind of stay together. Okay, so the woman was kind of idolatry. We realize we are in Christ. Hebrews 12, verse 2, says that Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. I want you to see this next slide and get this in our heads. Believing is seeing. It's not seeing is believing. Like you'll hear out in the world, you'll hear people say. No, it's believing that is seeing. See, Thomas, it says, doubted. He didn't believe till he saw, but Jesus said, blessed are they that will believe and have not seen. He was talking about you and me. That's awesome. God himself lives on the inside of you. Mustard seed, well, we're going to talk about that. Luke 17, 6. This is important. Now, let's get this. If you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots, planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Now, this is Jesus. This isn't Dan. This is Jesus. Now, it doesn't say if you, and my favorite preacher, and many of them, will say, mustard seed faith, you plant it in your life, and over time it grows. But that's not what this verse says. Jesus says, if you have, and the reason he used mustard seed is because it's the smallest seed, but it's something they'd all know. You know, we live in Alberta. If you said grain of wheat, we'd all know how small that is. And so he was just using an example of something very small. It doesn't take a bunch, is what he's saying. The tiniest bit. Faith is God-made. It's not man-made. So I love guns. I shouldn't say love. That's a heavy word. I enjoy my guns. I enjoy going to the range. And, man, when I first started, even though I had a very good rifle, spent a fair bit of money and a pretty good scope. I got a better one now, but it was hard. I mean, when I first started, I could hardly even hit the paper the target was drawn on. Forget the target. But over time, you get more and more accurate. And with some practice, you can get fairly accurate, like slide 13. You can get fairly accurate. And that takes some practice. But with great effort and repeated practice. And it's not that there's time involved, because Jesus said childlike. Sometimes we just, you know, I'll tell you, even when I was lousy at shooting, once in a while I get lucky. But to get consistent, so you'll see beginning Christians get their faith answered, and just miraculously, you just think, man, I've been walking with God 15 years, and how come my prayers don't get answered? But as you are diligent to obey and to believe and to get rid of the human thinking and the yeah buts and what ifs and just believe what Jesus said, you practice it, you try, you get more consistent. And you end up with, like the next slide, an ability to do this all the time. And when you can do that with your faith all the time, you can change the world. And now this is what Jesus has made available and showed us. And you know, we think, yeah, but he was Jesus. Well, wait a minute now. Everybody loves that Jesus walked on water. We'll talk about that in a bit. I'm not going to even go there. All right, I'm going to say this. What changed from the first one to this, other than the bullet holes are all in the bullseye? The other one wasn't even that bad. Did the gun change? Or did the shooter change? Did the faith grow? Or did the believer's ability to walk by faith and to really trust God and believe and understand that his humanness could not stop God's goodness? You know, what really changed here? What needs to grow in our lives? You know, the faith is there. You've all got it. God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. I said it already, and now I said it again. And out of the word of the voice of two or three witnesses. So that's twice. The faith is in you to move mountains, to answer every need, whatever the circumstance, whatever Satan tries to throw your way, you don't have to be overcome. And yes, we miss it. And sometimes we fail, but God's word doesn't fail. God didn't fail us. We failed somehow, and we need to get right back on that horse and try again. The faith is there, and it's strong enough. Boy, we just need to practice using it and start to trust more. Really trust. How am I doing for time? We've got to wrap it up pretty quick. So with some practice, we get fairly accurate, right? So we don't limit God. That is really important. Slide 15 says, don't limit God. Jesus said to him, and this was on even on the little announcement and on Facebook page, this verse, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Now, I just want to throw this out there. I did a study of the word all, and you know what it means? Everything. It means all. So when Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes, yeah, I'm with Jesus on that one. I'm not going to add a yeah, but to it. Keep my butt out of the way and just believe God. Now, Jesus didn't walk on water to impress people, but rather to show us we can. Do you get that? Now, I have a brother in Christ that I read about in the Bible named Peter. And we all remember when he started to sink because he looked at the storms, his butt got in the way. But we forget, Peter walked on water. He just childishly said, hey, if it's really you, call me to come out. He said, well, come on out. So he stepped out and started walking on the water. And until he started looking at the circumstances around him and thinking about them instead of his childlike faith, then he started to sink. But he walked on water, and he was just like you, just like me. Now, we're no different. We just got to believe and not look at all the junk around us and look at Jesus. Keep our focus on Jesus and what he said, and all things are possible. Man, you know, this group, I don't know what it is, but I've never prepared so much for a message. And I've preached in Thailand, and I've preached in prison for 8 years, and I've preached, I pastored a church, and did television ministry for several years, and then even most recently, Pastor Doug, through him, a door opened and I'm on the Miracle Channel teaching. But never have I prepared like this. And I'm telling you, God can start a revival with one little group of people that will believe him. He could change the world. He did it with 12 guys originally, and he can do it again. We just got to believe. But anyway, I don't know what he's got in store in that regard. I'm just telling you, I really believe God's got something going. So, he didn't walk on water to impress people. We got to remember that. We can do all things. Boy, remember the word all. It's so good. Now, we're going to talk about some circumstances because that always seems to interfere. We talked about honoring God, did we not? Oh, well, we got to go there. We don't limit God. We honor him. We don't hinder our own faith through disobedience and unbelief. We honor God in prayer and finances and praise and worship and obedience. And all those things that helped us when we talk about choices we make about our church attendance and all those things, it's all part and parcel. And it's not because he's a hard God. It's because he wants us to kick the snot out of the devil. He doesn't want him pushing you around. He doesn't want him crushing your life, causing you to be so stressed for the last week of every month because you're out of money before you're out of month. He doesn't want that. He doesn't want that for you. He doesn't want you to be the first one to get the flu when it's flu season. It's healed season. You're in Christ. Let other people get the flu, but not God's kids. So we honor God. And these are some of the ways we can honor him, and I think we can all think of a whole lot more. But we honor God. Okay. Circumstances can't overcome faith. Ephesians 6:16 says, above all, there's that word again, taking the shield of faith. So what's the most important thing he says here? Above all. Now, he talks about love and everything. We know love is the preeminent and most important, and we'll talk about that briefly because I'm running out of time. But look at this. Taking the shield of faith with which you are able to quench what? Oh, I even underlined it. All the fiery darts of the wicked one. So we don't have to have the devil in our lives winning a little here and winning a little there. No, we can. We can trust the word and believe and trust God. We're more powerful than, I mean, the devil's scared. He hates this message because even the most simple people can believe. And sometimes the more educated we are, the harder it is to wrap our head around this. All. I love that word. Okay, and circumstances can't overcome your faith, and they're also irrelevant to your faith. Abraham was old and his wife too, and get this, but believed God regardless of it being impossible, and God delivered, and so did Granny Sarah. Now, what's impossible with man is possible with God. Oh, again, not Dan. Jesus said that. Three faith ingredients that'll guarantee your results. Don't waver, from Romans 4, 19 and 20, where it talked about Abraham and Sarah, him not doubting, not wavering because of their age. Be fully convinced. As it said, Abraham was fully convinced that God could do what he said he could do. And then don't be carnal. That's from James 4, 3. It says, you know, you ask and you have not because you ask amiss, that you can spend it on your own pleasures. So those three things, from what I can find in the Word and wrapping it all up in a nutshell, will get you results. It's the other things that we allow in, doubt and unbelief and just stupid thinking, or stinking thinking, as somebody heard preached called it. You know, don't waver. Be fully convinced, and don't be carnal. Stay focused on the kingdom of God. Okay, so we got that. Let patience have her perfect work. Patience is number five. We need patience because sometimes these results aren't instant. Jesus put mud in the guy's eye and he walked away and he says, well, I see men like trees, just kind of blurry. He said, well, do it again. And then his eyes, sight was restored. Now, this was God himself walking in flesh. So sometimes things aren't instant. We don't worry about instant. We're concerned with getting results. Let patience have her perfect work, that you can be complete and entire, wanting nothing. Well, that sounds pretty good to me. So we have trouble believing that all and everything in God's so good. It's hard, isn't it? Because we've been so educated that it just doesn't work this way. But be childlike in your faith. And be patient. Continue to believe and stand no matter what. Continue to stand and stand and stand and stand. Having done all to stand, stand therefore. In difficulties, our faith is developed. It's like practice to a sharpshooter. It's like working out to an athlete. And keep going. Our faith can help us through tough circumstances, but its main purpose is much more significant, and it's love. And this is the biggie. This is where people miss it. If you're not getting results in your faith, maybe your love walks out of line a little bit. For in Christ, neither our most conscious religion nor disregard of religion amounts to anything. What matters is something far more interior, faith expressed in love. If people don't see the Spirit of God moving in you and through you, they're not going to believe a word you have to say. But if you can walk in love and obedience to Christ, putting on the fruit of the Spirit and those things, then your faith will make a difference, because we're building God's kingdom. Not Dan's kingdom, not Doug's kingdom, not your kingdom, not your kingdom. We're building God's kingdom. And that's what faith is all about. Faith is not for us to drive in the fanciest car, although if you get one, praise God. But faith is to bless the kingdom of God and see it increase. That's the purpose. We spend too much time on our knees praying for carnal things when we need to pray for our neighbors and our church members and our pastor and the loved ones we know and people at work. Quit being so small-minded. Okay? Keep going. We'll just get through this. How we treat others provides insight into who we are on the inside and where we need to work the most. Keep going. Our faith is a spiritual force placed in us by God to build his kingdom, which I just said. And keep going. Now, this here is Alex Ovechkin. I'm not a big Capitals fan, but here's a guy that pursued something his whole life, and finally this year, he won the Stanley Cup. Now, does he look excited and exuberant? Now, he pursued it with all his might and all his strength. And really, as his career was, you know, he's getting on in years, as you can tell from the photo, he's not a young guy anymore, he wondered if it would ever happen. And he began to wonder. And they'd get close, but never close enough. Close, but then never close enough. And then he does it. Well, we're reaching for something much greater than the Stanley Cup. Next slide. Faith is the stuff life is made of. So blessed. Man, we are so blessed to even be counted worthy to reach towards something, so things that are eternal, grasping for the cause of God, to be part of it. What an honor to be part of God's plan and use our faith to build his kingdom. Faith is the stuff life is made of. It's not something you use once in a while. Live this way 24/7. Get back to believing God no matter how ridiculous it seems and no matter what the devil throws your way. You'll stay confident and firm in your faith. You won't be shaken. I love that song. You won't be shaken. We're to use faith to shape our world, and the just shall live by it. And where are we now? Mark 11:23, you say to the mountain, be removed, plucked up, cast, and see. If you don't doubt in your heart, but believe those things which you say will come to pass, you'll have the things which you say. We don't beg God. You don't run to God telling him how big your problems are. You run at your problems telling him how big your God is. Now, we're going to say a little prayer because there's a few people we don't know. I don't know every one of you. So we want to make sure that every one of us knows Jesus. This Jesus that we just talked about. The one that says, be childlike and all things are possible. Not some religious man-made idea. We want to help you find a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So before Trist comes up to do the offering, I'm going to quickly lead you in a prayer. So if you've never made Jesus Lord of your life, and you want to know this person better, he wants to know you better. And we're going to say a prayer together. Before I even go there, I want to say there's also some of us maybe that we've said this sinner's prayer before, or we've heard that I'm about to lead some others in, but we know that we haven't been living right for God. And we've been kind of taking it easy or just on cruise control. They're not even, you know, our attendance is irregular and our commitment to God is irregular, but we still come once in a while, but we just know we're not where God wants us to be. So those ones we're going to pray for too. So everybody bow your head, because I don't want to embarrass anybody, and some people are shy. So everyone bow your head, close your eyes, and I just want to, just me and you, I want to ask you, if you've never made Jesus Lord of your life and you want to know him as Lord, I want you to put up your hand. And we're going to pray, and you're going to change your eternal destination. And any others of you that feel like, you know, I'm not quite where I should be with God, I know there's more. I know there's more. I know he has more for me, and there's more I can do. I want you to put up your hand. So everybody, we're going to pray together so that everybody can say this prayer and feel comfortable and not feel like they're the only one. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you so much for calling me, and I choose this day to make you, Jesus, Lord of my life. I ask you to forgive me my sins. Come into my heart. Help me to know you better. And Lord, I may not have lived right. I may have done things I know were wrong. But I trust you forgive me. And I ask for your help and your instruction on how to live my life the way you want me to. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.